John to pray for Darren. Maybe introduce Darren. Do you have a few words to say? Tell us who this man is and your friendship with him.
I'm sure I can manage a few words. But yes, I've known Darren for many, many years. He lives in Nipplepen, and we met him when we did an ALPA course, and he came to an ALPA course many years ago. But he's become a great friend with his family, his wife and two children. And they've become like one of our adopted families. And so very precious to us and very special. And so let's just pray for Darren. I just want to just pray. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for what you've done in Darren's life. Thank you for how you've touched his heart, how you've just made such a difference to his life and just touched his heart in such a wonderful way that we have seen. We just pray now, Lord, that you would anoint him this morning to speak your word with boldness under your direction. We just pray now, Lord, that those words that he uses will be anointed by your Spirit, and we just touch our hearts, penetrate our hearts, and to speak to us in whatever way that each of us as individuals needs. So we just pray that blessing upon Darren, blessing upon this congregation, as we hear what you're going to say through him. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm Darren and I've never done this before. I still think of myself as a new Christian. Still certainly in my understanding of the word. Kind of like a Christian two-year-old, really. So watch out, guys. You're giving the microphone to a Christian toddler. Question, how do you think I'm feeling? Yeah. Anything else?
Excited.
Yeah. Blessed. Thank you. All those things. Question to myself, how on earth did this happen? How did I get here? Well, I was really wondering about that, and I came across a prayer that I've written in my I try to keep a journal. And I'm not very regular in this journal, so I only had to turn back one page, and I got to May the 5th. but I wrote a prayer. I'd read the morning thoughts that Phil Watson sent out, and we were in Acts 16, verse 10, so we were further on in Acts than what we are now. And I've written this prayer. Thank you, Father, that in my struggles you have been there with a hand on my shoulder and that you will continue to be there. As I join the two on the road to Macedonia, let me learn from their experience thus far so I can know your voice when I'm turned away. Doors open and doors close. Doors close and other doors open. Let me not push too hard on them, but also let me not falter before I reach them. In Jesus' loving name, amen. Amen. So, as I joined the two on the road, this was Paul and Silas on their way to Macedonia. Let me learn from their experience thus far. So there we were in Acts 16. And I asked to gain some understanding of what these guys have been through and where they've been. So, brothers and sisters, be careful what you pray for. If it's God's will, it will be done. I just want to say thank you to everybody who's helped me put this together today with different kinds of input. There was Phil Else, Susan, Margaret, Paul, Fraser and Polly, anyone else who WhatsApped me some stuff. Okay, so we're in Acts chapter 8. So if you'd like to open your Bibles, I hope I've got some good volunteer readers as well this morning. And while you turn into that, let's just do a quick recap of events. So Jesus has ascended into heaven. There has been the ascendance of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been received by the apostles, and just at the end of last week, Stephen was stoned to death for standing up for his beliefs. So believers are being persecuted, they're being imprisoned, and they are scattering across the region from Jerusalem into Judea and Samaria, which actually is in fulfillment of what Jesus had commanded. So they are running for their lives. You could say they're in a crisis. Just let me add a couple of footnotes here. So believers are scattered across the region. Footnote number one. Two ancient Greek words exist for the word scattered, the English word scattered. The first word is to scatter and disappear, like when we scatter ashes and they disappear into the ground. The second word, the word that's used here, is to scatter like seed. So think of Jerusalem, if you will, as a dandelion head, ripe with fluffy white seeds. The persecution acted like a big, hot, angry breath on the seed. And the believers were scattered like seed. Footnote number two, the believers were running for their lives. This is my addition. They were in a crisis. Anybody who might be familiar with Chinese writing, but the two symbols that make up the word crisis in the Chinese language are, they mean danger and opportunity. So a crisis is both danger and opportunity. And amidst all the danger, who took the opportunity? Who took the opportunity to preach the word? So Philip took the opportunity. And what a dude. He sees Stephen stoned to death. I mean, let's just pause there for a minute. Can you imagine seeing somebody actually stoned to death? A slow and painful death. And he's obviously, you know, realizing very much that that could be what's coming his way as well. In the words of Paul Dixon, he could have hidden and could have gone underground, but no. He continued his teaching and his miracles, seeking opportunity for furthering the kingdom and allowing the Holy Spirit to work through. So have you ever been scared enough that you wanted to hide? Have you ever wanted to go underground? I have. The last time was 5 o'clock this morning. Clearly, my life wasn't at stake, but in my mind, I had turned this talk into something really big and scary. And I know some people will relate to that. I visualized losing my notes. I visualized losing my place. I visualized losing you guys. All manner of things. So I prayed. I thought, what should I do? I'll pray. And I prayed for connection with all of you. And maybe I also thought, this is a prayer I can use more often, a prayer for connection with believers and non-believers on a daily basis. So onward we go. What we can do is someone to read just a bit of Acts chapter 8. Have we got someone who would volunteer to read verses 4 through to 6, please? Thank you, Simon. Oh, thanks for having me.
Four to six,
please. Yeah, okay.
So Philip in Samaria, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said.
Thank you. Okay, so they've been scattered. They're like seed. And they are taking and carrying the message with them. Okay, onward with our story. And we meet Simon the sorcerer. Who remembers Paul Daniels? Who liked Paul Daniels? not a lot. That was his line, wasn't it? Anybody heard of David Blaine? Remember David Blaine? Street magician. Yeah, who also did a trick where he apparently walked on water. And David Copperfield, anyone remember David Copperfield? Yeah, he did some big, he was the big showy trick, wasn't he? Well, I remember in the 80s, he made a jumbo jet disappear. I remember the build-up to this big showy event. I just hasten to add, this wasn't a jumbo jet full of people in the sky. That would not be called entertainment. This was an aeroplane on the runway, static, and about 250 feet, or 80 meters for metric people, 250 feet long, with a similar wingspan. At this point, everybody goes, whoa. Everybody goes, whoa. So the media hype in the newspapers and on the TV was huge. Is this even possible? Is this even something that can be done? Everyone I knew was watching, and it was on TV. There's a clue, on TV. The viewing ratings must have gone absolutely through the roof that evening. So although actually David Copperfield pulled off the trick, the whole thing served another purpose. So what was the purpose of Simon the Sorcerer's magic? Could someone please read 9 through to the end of 11? We've got a volunteer. Because I thought you were just about to say, I will, Darren!
I will, Darren.
Thank you, Barry.
The only thing is, I haven't got my glasses, so.
Oh, okay. I'm sure you probably know it.
I do, but. Now, for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in a city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is the divine power known as the Great Power." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. But when, is that it?
That's it. Thank you,
Brian. Okay.
Thank you, Barry. Well read.
Wow.
Okay, so Simon the Sorcerer, he astounded people. And he also boasted of being great. And everyone from the least to the greatest among them was dazzled by his sorcery, saying, "This man is the greatest wizard of all. The divine power of God walks among us." Wow. But Simon knew he was a fake. Philip had no need to boast. New believers were being baptized all around. Even Simon was baptized. And what did Simon do then? Well, he let greed and jealousy get the better of him. He offered money in exchange for the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. And some things just cannot be bought. As Susan said to me in my pre-preach research, Simon wanted the power all for himself. His wrong motive was apparent and rebuked. So let's have a look at a comparison. So tell us what happened next, Darren. Well, let's read verses 26 to 31. Do I have another volunteer, please? Thank you.
Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candace, which means Queen of Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him.
Thank you, Philip. Thank you, yes. Lovely. Okay, so what's happening here? We've got Philip doing great works in Samaria. The numbers of believers are growing, and he gets a call. Hello? You want me to go away? South on the desert road to Gaza. Okay, I'm going now. It doesn't say what form the message actually took, but it does say that Philip left immediately on his assignment. In other words, he was obedient. So there he is on the desert road where he encounters an Ethiopian traveling in his chariot with his entourage. And he happens to be reading aloud from the book of Isaiah. And the Holy Spirit says, "Well, don't just stand there, man. Go and get alongside the chariot." So he runs because he's obedient. He's obedient, see? He runs. And he catches up, and maybe he's out of breath, maybe his heart rate is increased, and he waits for further instruction. Maybe he's receiving threatening looks from the entourage who wonder what his motive is. Either way, his timing is impeccable, because the Ethiopian official on his way home, reading from Isaiah, is stuck. He's stuck trying to make sense of the prophecy. So Philip takes a chance and he blurts out, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the Ethiopian says, "No, I need guidance. How can I possibly make sense of this without explanation?" And he invites Philip up into the chariot. Can I ask someone to read 34 through to the end of 38, please? Yes, please. Oh, yeah.
The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." The official answered, "I believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God." And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him.
Thank you very much. Okay, so in his guidance and his explanation, Philip starts where? He starts where the man is at. He doesn't start at the beginning, he doesn't go to Genesis, he doesn't go to where Philip wants to start, but he starts where the man is at. And he works forwards to share the wonderful message of Jesus. Then the Ethiopian man sees a pool of water ahead and he says, "Why don't I get baptized right now? No one told him to, no one made him. I'm sure in a position like he held, he didn't feel obliged. But he wanted to be baptized." And he was, right there and then. Notice, there was a need here all along. Despite the officialdom, the entourage, the authority this man held, there is an identifiable need. He's not reading the newspaper. He's not counting his money. He's not doing financial forecasts on his laptop. He is reading the Bible. What a great sign. Someone's interested. So there is a need of guidance. There is also timing of the Holy Spirit. There is direction from the Holy Spirit. And really importantly, there is obedience from Philip. Have you ever needed yourself explanation or guidance? So when I did, my chariot was heading down a very dusty road on the way to who knows where, potentially to hell, if I'm honest. I too had a need. I was dragging around a very heavy heart. All the world's problems, I was making my own, and I didn't know what to do. So I had a desperate need, much like the Ethiopian man. And then there was timing. So at the same time, a member of this church family was preparing to be obedient, and he had some direction too. This man headed out down the dusty roads of Ivanpah. He may have been running like Philip. It was a while ago. My chariot was waiting. I wasn't reading Isaiah, but I was in need of some guidance. And the offer came from John in the form of a picture. And the picture was a man carrying a big question mark, struggling with this big question mark. And it was on my doormat when I came in. And I saw the picture and I thought, wow, that's me. That is me. So we have the need, the direction, the obedience, and the timing. And the timing of the next part of my journey, which started like Philip, where I was, and shared with me the wonderful message of Jesus. So we journeyed down the dusty road, and soon enough, we reached a pool of water. Unlike the Ethiopian with his certitude, I questioned my own motive. The main point was, for me, am I expecting to get something out of this? As a former addict, and knowing that I will often pursue things that make me feel good, or at least make me feel better, I took myself off on a mini pilgrimage along the Cornish Celtic Way to get some clarity. Now, prior to this, I was stood literally 30 feet away from the pool of water where the baptisms happen. So this was some diversion via the Cornish Celtic Way. Brother Paul joined me over 3 or 4 days, and we were in the company of some of the saints who had walked these hilly miles to carry the message like Philip did. At points along the way, I was overwhelmed. We roughed it a bit. We slept on church floors, and one night during a storm, we spent the night in a well-constructed entrance porch to a church, sleeping on the doormat, which said, welcome. So here was us in our technical, breathable layers and sure-footed walking boots, carrying waterproof backpacks, cash and cards if we needed it, and ready available sustenance. The saints in cassocks, who knows what kind of footwear, cold, wet, hungry, in the 8th century, but with hearts on fire. Great big hearts bursting with love. And time in their tracks and the presence of our Lord in everything around me fanned the flames of desire to be set free from worldliness and to accept into what had become my withered walnut of a heart, the love of the Almighty. Man, was I ready to be baptized. So on our return, the day after the pilgrimage, I entered into that pool of water, and I was obedient to where I was directed by my heart. I'd made the hardest journey 18 inches from there to there. I was baptized by a man called John. Philip was there, Paul was there, Simon was there, all sorts of people were there, and it was a wonderful occasion. I actually just wanted to finish up with just a poem and a prayer, if I may. Is actually by David White. It's called Loaves and Fishes. This is not the age of information. This is not the age of information. Forget the news and the radio and the blurred screen. This is the time of loaves and fishes. Forget the news, forget the radio and the blurred screen. This is the time of loaves and fishes. People are hungry, and one good word is bread for a thousand. So, the words that we've heard today, the scripture that this has all been about today, they've kind of helped me to unpick where I'm at in a lot of my faith, if you like. Often I wonder where my courage to speak out about Jesus. I often wonder where that is. Where do I find that? How do I access that? And one of the things that this reading told me about that really is that there are people who are going to be ready for that. And it's about being around and immersing yourself in the places where those people are. You know, Jesus spent time with prostitutes, he spent time with criminals, he spent time with the sick and the injured and the lame, and the paralyzed. And they're the people who have the need. And that's the need that really we can seek, we can look for, we can identify, and then we can pray that the Holy Spirit will give us the timing and get that timing right. And then we can be obedient and follow the word. Whatever it is that we're being told to do, we can be just like Philip was, we can be obedient. So that's me. But I just wanted to pray at the end of that and just say, Father God, thank you from my heart for this opportunity. You know how you know what time I've spent with these people on this road. You know how I've read the word, I've absorbed the word, I've nourished myself on the word, and you know that I have got some growth from that. I only hope that somehow something has been transferred this morning, passed across, nourished other people in your name, Lord. And again, thank you for the opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.